Let's turn in the scriptures now to Matthew chapter 1. You know we have, since I came, we started in 1 Thessalonians to go through the New Testament, and we've gone through all of them except for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and so we're going to go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke now. And so starting in Matthew 1, we're going to read the whole chapter, Matthew 1, verses 1 through 25, about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verse 1, these are the words of our Lord. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah. Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. And Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, and she kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And that is the word of the Lord. So Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy of Jesus, starts with Abraham. And so it skips from Adam to Abraham, but it starts with Abraham here and going through the line of Joseph to Jesus. Luke is somewhat different. It starts with Adam and goes through the line of Mary to Jesus. Some of the interesting parts of this genealogy has to do with the seed. Genesis 3, the seed theology, the seed of the woman. How does that play out throughout the Old Testament? Well, we see much of that from Abraham to here with Jesus, tracing the physical descendants. Very interesting. The highlights of the genealogy are important, where things are explained a little further. That's where emphasis is given, like when Judah produces two sons, verse 3, by Tamar, it says. Remember the story of Tamar. Remember that she disguised herself. She went into Judah, dressed herself as a prostitute, and the result of this was Judah's sin of adultery was Perez in the line of Jesus. We see also from this, Boaz was, we know Boaz from Boaz and Ruth. How did Boaz come about? But by Rahab. Do you remember Rahab also was a prostitute, but she was the one who helped Israel when they were in the wilderness come into Canaan. And she helped them and she became one of them. And so she was a Gentile. And she, a Gentile, was in the line of Jesus. And so far we have two prostitutes, one adulterer. But we also have another adulterer, another murderer, David. And that's highlighted for us in verse 6 when it mentions, oh yes, this was the one, Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Remember what David did to Uriah? He murdered him by sending him to the front lines of battle. And yet still, our God brought through this line our Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't because Jesus had a perfect physical bloodline from which he came, but this is that he was perfect in and of himself or without sin. It was not because of a perfect physical bloodline, clearly, but this is why he had to be born by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that he would not have the stain of original sin. And if the Lord Jesus came from such a line, then, beloved, surely there is no sin. For here we see a murderer, an adulterer, prostitutes. There's no sin that would keep you from coming to Jesus and being saved. The rest of the passage is given to fulfilling the promises of Isaiah, describes the actual birth of Jesus. Notice the language, verse 19. Mary was found to be with child. How? Was it by Joseph? No. By the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. He is of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was to be called Jesus. He was also to be called Emmanuel after what it prophesied in Isaiah. He was to be called God with us, the very presence of God with us. Now we have that as the Spirit has been sent, especially at Pentecost, is God with us in our hearts. And it's Jesus who came really, truly, factually, historically, and he saves his people from their sins. His name is Jesus, that is the Savior. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you that you are a God who saw fit at the right time to send the Messiah, the Christ, the one whom the Old Testament prophets prophesied about, the one that we've been seeing in Acts being preached by Peter, and as we saw in John's Gospel as well, the one who fulfilled all the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And here he's being born of the Holy Spirit and named Emmanuel as one of those fulfillments of promise. Father, we thank you that you have given us a Savior and that you made him not only, that he was not only God, but you sent him and, he added to himself that second nature, not just divine nature, but a human nature, so that he could sympathize with our weaknesses, that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Father, we're thankful that Jesus was not only born, but born for a purpose, purpose of reigning as king, the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins, now sitting on the throne, and who speaks to us through your word. And so he is the prophet, priest, and king. And Father, we're thankful that you have given us your Spirit and changed our hearts to, as we've heard the word, heard the gospel, you've changed our hearts that we would believe. You've given us new wills. And so, Father, now as we have been saved, as we are your people, Father, we pray that more would hear the gospel and be saved, that you would send your Spirit and change more hearts, even those children, especially among us. Father, we also ask that you would cause us to live in accordance with what has happened to us, what you have done for us in the gospel. You have loved us a love that is beyond comprehension. Where we deserve the pains of hell forever, you've given us eternal life with Jesus forever, with you forever. We are completely undeserving of that. We've earned for ourselves hell, but you've given us heaven. And so, Father, we ask that we would live accordingly, that we would live our lives for you, that we would live sacrificial lives, a servant's life unto you. And Lord, in this we ask for your Spirit to work and to strengthen us, enable us to do these things that you call us to do in your word, in your law, in your commandments and ordinances. Father, even this day we ask that you would cause us to give heed to your word, to believe it and to live it out in our lives. Father, we're thankful for your people, thankful for this congregation. We ask that you would grow us spiritually and physically. We ask that you would heal our bodies, many bodies that are sick and struggling, some unknown what is going on. We ask that you would heal their bodies and give wisdom to doctors, and that you would also remind us of what awaits us. As we heard in the call to worship, we have to look forward to being in your presence, the resurrected Christ in ourselves, having new resurrected bodies. And so, Father, heal our bodies and do so at the right time. Father, we give thanks to you for all that you've done. We ask that as we continue in worship now, that you would continue perfecting our worship, for we know as it comes, it's coming flawed and motives are bad and our hearts are not always completely in it. We ask that you would perfect that and cover our sin by the righteousness of Christ alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.